Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. I am your host, Ava Muhammad, and welcome back to Elevated Places. It is such a blessing to be with you this evening, August the 7th, 2014, and it's about 1 minute after 7 p.m. in Chicago, Central Time. We've been blessed with an incredibly beautiful summer here in Chicago after that horrid winter. Allah made it very clear what he's capable of doing with very little effort. And so we pray that we can do something to extend this summer as long as possible. It's just so wonderful to be here. I was blessed this week to join the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in Michigan with the research team, of which I am a minor part. And that was absolutely incredible. I will say to you, and we'll talk more about it later, mark the date, on Sunday, August the 17th, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will address the world. Listen to me good, address the world. From the National Center here in Chicago, Mosque Mariam, Sunday, August the 17th, 10 Central, 11 Eastern. If you are not able to be here, then make sure you tune in via webcast at noi.org. This has nothing to do with your religion. It has nothing to do with your income, your gender, your facet of life. Every human being on the planet needs to hear this message. So, again, August the 17th, Sunday, 1 week from Sunday, please mark your calendar that you will either be here in Chicago or be sitting at your desktop or looking on your iPad or your phone, whatever it is that you need to do. Tune in to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Well, let me do this first because there may be some comments that my beloved brothers wish to make on what I'm about to talk about before Brother Terrence goes into the activities of the nation and black community. But I want, of course, to acknowledge the presence of Brother Terrence Muhammad, my brilliant co-host, as well as our contributor and analyst here, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. I want to say assalamu alaikum to both of them.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me?
And we want, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, okay.
Excellent, excellent audio. And, of course, okay. We are, as you know, transitioning into Ask Dr. Ava. And by that, what we mean is we're not going to be tied in cement to a particular topic on Thursday night's programs. And so even though there will always be a lead topic or something obviously of interest to us all, we want to continue to remind our callers and listeners, and of course our number is 347-324-5091, We want to remind you that you can raise any issue that is important to you and or an issue that you feel is important to the community as a whole, and we will do our best to address that issue. I think by now many of you may be aware that in the murder trial of Theodore Wafer, he was found guilty today. Now, Theodore Wafer, if you don't know yet, is the white suburban Detroit homeowner who shot and killed a young black woman, Renisha McBride. She was 19 years old, and he shot her last November when she knocked on his door in the early hours of the morning. She had had a car accident and was apparently disoriented, and she had been drinking alcohol, but she made her way to Wafer's home seeking help. And when she knocked on his door, the answer that he gave her was a shotgun blast from his 12-gauge shotgun in her face, killing her. Today, the jury, consisting of 8 whites, 4 black people, delivered its verdict after less than 2 days of deliberation. He was convicted of murder in the second degree. He was also convicted of involuntary manslaughter and firearms charges as well. And so the jury, for me as a lawyer, I'm very satisfied that the jury covered down on the law, and the jury was given logical and correct instructions by the judge. It means everything. One difference here from the Trayvon Martin case is the defense laws of the state of Michigan are different from the so-called stand your ground laws and defense laws governing action in the state of Florida. They're more rational, in my opinion. But the man has not yet been sentenced. That remains to be seen as to what he can receive. But I think that in Michigan, I don't have it in front of me, I thought that murder 2 would carry, I think it carries 15 to life. But I'll have to check back, and perhaps I can look it up while we're on the program, or we can discuss it. So that's where we are. Theodore Wafer, 55 years old, airport maintenance worker. One of the big problems with his defense was he's told at least 2 different stories about what happened that night. What he said to the police that evening, which was videotaped, it was vastly different from what he said on the witness stand. I don't know what kind of lawyers he has, but that definitely did not help him at all to tell 2 vastly different stories. But, of course, I know in my mind I can't comprehend the justification for coming to your door. You're not an imminent threat because there's a loud knock on your door. The mere loud knock, if that's what happened, we don't even know that that's true. But let's say she was knocking loudly on his door. That does not justify what Michigan law requires, which is that you be in fear of imminent threat of death or serious bodily harm. You know, first of all, you are in your house. You're inside. You're not outside. You're not exposed at this point. And I don't know what happened to calling 911. I don't know where that went. Okay. My view, and I may be a little paranoid, but it doesn't mean they're not out to get us black people. I think he saw a black face, and it was his opportunity. That's where I am with America, okay? They're trying to impeach President Obama as we speak. They're talking totally crazy. The charges that are forming include things like supporting Al-Qaeda, acting irrationally, brazen, bizarre behavior. They are determined. When I say they, I mean the white Republican House is determined that this man leave the White House tarred and feathered, since they were not successful in defeating him in his run for a second term. Mm-hmm. So, Brother Terrence Muhammad and Dr. Rizzi as well, after this, we can continue talking about the McBride case after that, because I definitely want to get you all's insight on that. But Brother Terrence, what's happening, Brother?
Well, you know, I'm going to just go ahead and flow right into some of the comments that you made and then go back into the announcements. You know, it's very interesting that you brought up this whole issue, because I just left the meeting in my city where we're having a discussion about having a police review board, and they're actually trying to have a statewide conversation about this as one police chief is going out and another police chief is going on, that the community is recommending that new police chief has is taking consideration of having a police review board so that police cannot review the police. And my friend, former member of, member of the legendary X-Clan group, Paradise Gray out of Pittsburgh, just posted something about a man shot dead by police in Walmart after he picked up a toy gun. They say he was pointing at different people, but they shot this 22-year-old man down to his death while he was on the phone talking to his mother. And then from there, we just got a tweet at 8:04 today from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, where he says the government, U.S. government's desire for world depopulation, what methods are they using? Can you fathom this? So it's no coincidence, as we were talking about, that the minister puts this out, and he puts out this video clip where he's talking about this. So we're seeing now the issue of Ebola is coming out, and we have seen how the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan talk about black people in Africa been having sex for millions of years, and they've never had anything such of a disease like AIDS, and now we're dying in countries where they're getting vaccinated and 100% vaccination, but we don't know what they're putting in them, thinking they're saving us, but they're actually part of a depopulation plan. So as we're seeing more killings are going on, we're watching the whole process of extinguishing us from the planet. So we can't fathom the depths of the evil that Satan is doing. So, you know, I just wanted to do that, and then I also want to concur with you, Sister Ava, that if you ever have never heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you don't want to miss it. And rest assured, don't act like you've heard a lecture before the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You do not want to miss August the 17th. August the 17th should be your birthday. It should be your Christmas. It should be a national holiday, and you should have press conferences all across the country stating that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is speaking this August 17th, as Dr. Ava said, not just to the nation but to the world, and we don't want to miss that. So please tune in to that. And as you prepare, and go to NOI.org to watch the series, The Time and What Must Be Done. Go back over it, the 58-week series, lecture series. So as we jump right in it, we want to let people know that there's good music out there. We're still producing good music. We have our sister Akilah. She got a new song that's out, We Out Here. It's a beautiful representation of the sisters and good music. So check our sister out, Sister Akilah, We Out Here. Also, our good brother, Brother Jesse, is still on tour with the book, The Teachings 2.0, a book of the tweets of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So we want to make sure that you get your copy of The Teachings 2.0. Go to store.finalcall.com. And Brother Jesse, this month, all the month of August, is dedicated to sisters that are, since everybody like to use their smartphone and take selfies, you know, pictures of themselves, make sure that you hold up a book, The Teachings 2.0, so we can post them and blast them all over Facebook, so we can see the righteous sisters in their garments, covered girls, with that book 2.0, The Teachings 2.0. And as we get ready to go right into this discussion, I do want to once again give a grand and huge big shout out to our national student MGT captain, Sister Sandy, for a glimpse of heaven that we saw at the grand ball at MUI. It was a fundraiser for MUI right at our National Center. That wonderful gymnasium was transformed into an elegant night. If you ever seen a prom, if you ever seen a formal ball, that's what it was, the highest level of elegance. We know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has shed no blood of no man, so he doesn't walk on a red carpet, but he walks on a white carpet because he has shed no one's blood. And they had the white carpets, the silver carpets down for our young people that came from all across the country to participate in a grand youth ball. And as that song by our brother Little John, he says, turn down for what? Everything was turned up in MUI. We had our group at New. We had AK-47 and a lot of other stars in our nation performing for our youth, and they had a wonderful time. A lot of our national officials were there, and it was just a beautiful experience for the youth across the nation. So we give big ups to our sister Sandy. But as we said, Sister Ava, we want to jump into this conversation because the one killing in Detroit is linked to a lot of killings all across the country, as we know that our brother Mumia Abu-Jamal is still locked down. Our brother H-Rock Brown is still locked down. We have a lot of political prisoners. And I will close with the saying of Doughboy from Boys in the Hood, either they don't know or they don't care.
Amen. Yes, sir. Absolutely. And thank you for that report. We're going to be joined at the bottom of the hour by two sisters who have been actively engaged in an issue that's at the forefront right now in Chicago. Now, remember, we opened up talking about our 19-year-old sister being murdered. She's gone. Her life is over at 19.
That's right.
Shotgun blast to the face. And while I have a measure of satisfaction over the second-degree murder verdict, to see that's followed right by Brother Terrence's report on 22-year-old black man shot to death by police in Walmart. And it's the circumstances are the same. You have, in all of these cases, I don't care if you're talking about Sean Bell or Eric Garner in New York, whether it's Trayvon Martin or Jordan Davis or the young lady that was treated like Bonnie and Clyde in Washington, D.C., and pummeled with bullets while her one-year-old baby was in the back seat. There are very slight changes in fact pattern, but the motive is all the same. And I've really about had enough of the kinds of discussions that responsible Negroes are having on television and radio, and all of this talk about I thought I was going to just start hyperventilating the other day when a black woman called into a radio show and raised the question to the host whether or not Brother Eric in New York could have lived if he had not resisted arrest. You know, I mean, I have trouble repeating that.
Come on.
You know, first, and the host of that show, who is by no stretch militant in any way, shape, or form, he had to beat her down for even raising that point. See, there's something innately wrong with us that we continue to dissect these cases and seek to put blame on the victim. You know, because to say had he not resisted arrest, perhaps he could have lived. Well, you know, Dr. King could have lived, I guess.
Right.
You know, if he had just stayed in his church and minded his business. You know, what are you talking about? You don't. My question is, why are you arresting somebody for selling an untaxed cigarette?
Come on.
We're not even comprehending the legal aspects of that, let alone going down to the whole genetic problem here. that will never be resolved, and that's why separation is the best and only solution. But even in the realm of logic of white people's world, okay, how do you justify in your mind that we're even talking about putting handcuffs on somebody when at most there should be, somebody should write them a citation and tear it off like a receipt and hand it to them? We're still locked in and a self-view. Master Fathered Muhammad said, accept your own and be yourself. We are not following that basic universal law, and that alone is going to keep us on this wheel, like hamsters on a wheel. This is going to happen every day, and it's going to happen more frequently. Because we don't get it. We don't get it. We have God's man in our midst, and we are not listening. We certainly are not complying with God's will. But before we go to the phone, Dr. Rizzi, I know you have a comment. Oh, I think it's
kind of hard to fight.
Dr. Ridgely? Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
we
couldn't hear you at first, but we can hear you now.
Oh, okay. You know, it's kind of hard to fight back against God's children. See, if you believe that the white Jewish people are God's children and the Christian whites are Jesus' white, and so everybody close to God is white and you are relegated to a subhuman position.
Right.
Now, when, you know, I talk about the sheepdog and the evil shepherd. The sheepdog, which are your general white people, are controlled by people who control their minds through education and training, understanding of scriptures, and they make those people think that we are subhuman and that we belong to them. At the same time, those white people belong to somebody else who see the white people and the black people as goyim. They call them goyim, cattle. And so they herd us and use them to herd us, and every now and then they have to give one of us a sacrifice to them to satisfy their bloodthirsty nature, to keep them happy, because they're not happy unless they're torturing us. And since Master Farad Muhammad showed up in 1930, they just can't lynch us the way they used to. They didn't need laws to lynch us with. They just lynched us. But since he came, they had to set up a system of law as an excuse to kill us. So the laws are set up as an excuse to kill us. We crossed this line. Oop, you're dead. You crossed that line. Why am I dead? Well, you crossed that line. And there was now that's illegal to cross that line. So this is how this thing is set up. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said he stumbled upon these people who call themselves Jews in 1984 when he went to protect our brother Jesse Jackson when he was running for president. And they attacked him vehemently, and then that put us in research to find out why did these people, who supposedly are friends of Negroes in the civil rights movement, why did they jump on Mr. Farrakhan like that? Why do they hate him so much? And now we got to expose them, and Mr. Farrakhan is going to completely expose them and take their clothes off as an identity thief who's stolen our identity, lied about their suffering, which they never suffered, and now they are, in fact, teaching the world that we're subhuman, they're God's children, and that they got a right to kill us when they want and to kill the Palestinians if they want because they are the next thing to God on the planet. So until we break that tie in our mind, we will not be able to defend ourselves because we're thinking that we are fighting against the children of God, but the children of God, a righteous God, will not do like what they're doing in Gaza and like what they've done to us for over 400 years.
Well, I agree 1,000%. And we're gonna go to the phones because we got them lining up already. And as I said, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have some brilliant sisters come on, young sisters who are activists. And, you know, here in Chicago, I think, I don't know if we talked about it last week. I think we did because Brother Terrence, you had mentioned that I would be speaking at an event Saturday past, and I did. And community members came out in really infuriated Yet again, another white man assaulting a black woman, and in this case, a judge here in Chicago, Judge Arnett Hubbard, who's 79 years of age, and was slapped in her face and spat upon by a white man. He had a court appearance this past Tuesday, and of course, we've had many of our sisters and brothers who have said, you know, this is just enough. And so there's been a very loud response to this event, which was not really showcased in the so-called mainstream media, but it's being made known now. And we're on this case, and of course, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan sent me and other members of the National Council to that event on Saturday, and it was quite successful. But the sisters are going to tell us what happened. They were also my guest on WVON Sunday, but they're going to tell us what happened Tuesday and also where we go from here. One sister, I think, is with us, and the other will be joining shortly. But we're going to start taking a couple of calls. We've got Sister Joanne. We didn't reach her last week. She was left hanging. And so she wanted to get on the line early. Sister Joanne, you are live on Elevated Places.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am. I am so glad to be on the line early. If you recall, Sister Ava, I had a question for you in regard to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's vision for the female inmate population and
yes.
The use of the self-improvement study course to prepare for life after incarceration and within the Nation of Islam. Now, since I spoke with you last week, I continued to do some researching, and I found a blog post published in Radical Criminology, and it didn't really cover enough of what I was looking for, but I'll just share a little bit of it with you.
Yes, ma'am.
First, as we know, and as Minister Farrakhan states in Torchlight for America, America has not found a way to curb crime and reform those in her society who consistently break her laws, particularly in the black community. Now, I would like to say, nor is America really seeking a way for that because, well, they'd all be out of a job. Now, this particular blog post that I'm seeing is titled "The Color of Corporate Corrections: Why For-Profit Prisons House More Inmates of Color." And it's reflecting some findings of a new study by a UC Berkeley graduate student. And its main finding is that private prisons are packed with more young people, and they're healthy young people of color. And it says that the rate of violence is higher at the private prisons. And then what also struck me was that recidivism is either worse than in the public prisons or at least the same. And so especially in light of that, I really wanted to be certain to get on the line early this evening because I really would like to hear what you have to share in regard to this topic.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for that. You know, let me try to put this together in its most, I guess I would say, holistic form. Just as you see the increase in assaults on black females, and concomitant with that, the increase in the incarceration of black females, you also see an increase in suspension and expulsion from school of black students,
right,
all the way down,
right,
to preschool.
Right.
All right? And then you're, yeah, seeing an increase in fights between black females in school.
Yes.
You know, because some of our researchers and scholars have identified, and of course the minister, way back in the 90s, two major messages, Stop the Killing Tour and then the Obsolescence of the Black Man, which is what led to the Million Man March. One of his motives in the Million Man March was to present the black man to the world as he really is, as opposed to how the slave master is presenting us. But what has happened is what's going on is what Donald Elijah Muhammad told us would happen as we refuse to follow his direction.
Right.
He told the black man in message to the black man, protect your woman. Protect your woman. He told the black man, I don't care what degrees you have. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how much status you have. Unless the world respects your woman, you have nothing.
That's right.
That did not happen. So after the Million Man March, and Dr. Ridgely, you and I were talking about this today. You know, my husband said it back then when it happened. We celebrated the Million Man March. We sat down, called everybody, tell them we made it.
Oh, come on. That's
okay, we prevailed. They went to work relentlessly because they were terrified by they saw on that mall. And so from that point forward, you saw the degradation of the black woman and the black woman going along with that degradation of self.
That's right.
Mm.
All the way down to now, she is out in the street. I can't make it from point A to point B without having to see the big rage in Chicago now is the so-called booty shorts. Where the sisters are virtually naked.
That's right.
They're out here undressed, literally undressed, no undergarment, support garment on, tattooed, pierced. You're pushing a baby stroller. So
yes,
somebody's
ma'am.
Already been there, okay? But you're naked pushing the baby stroller. So what is the objective here? What's the agenda when you go out doing that? What is your perception of yourself that you do this? And this is not uncommon. This is the norm now.
That's right.
What's hard to find is black women who have clothes on.
That's right.
What's difficult to find. Now, if you don't have self-respecting women, Why did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say, why does the minister keep teaching the value of the woman? Mary, the mother of Jesus, why? Because all human life comes through the womb of the female. And so when you reach a point that your woman, first of all, she's accessible to every piece of filth that comes in the community. All these people coming from countries all around the world, opening up nasty little filthy stores, selling drugs and cigarettes to our people, and molesting and trafficking our girls. You can't go in a white neighborhood, a Asian neighborhood, a Latino neighborhood, and approach their women unchecked. Both the woman and the predatory male are going to get jacked up. Not only the man, but the female. These women are out here in a way that when I was coming up, there was a law called indecent exposure.
Right.
You would be stopped. You would be told you cannot be out in the public like that. But just to close it out for others, to add, so prison was the natural, logical outcome of where we've been headed since the late 1990s, because we did not carry on what the spiritual voice of Allah, Minister Louis Farrakhan, put in motion. We rejected
it.
1995. So now in 2014, we are at rock bottom. And that is why the message of August the 17th, it's not going to be a message of prophecy at all. So, yeah, we're being locked up and locked down. We have come full circle back into bondage. But Dr. Rizzi just said it. They have to rename things, redefine things, represent the same thing. The relationship has not changed. It's just modernized. You can't say white only, colored only anymore. But you can say you can live in this neighborhood if you want to pay $6,000 a month for a studio apartment. Come on in.
Come on.
And we're damned if we're going to give you a job.
Come on.
So we start suspending you from school at age 4.
Come on.
So by 3rd grade, you're gone.
Right.
High school, forget about it. So with homosexuality, homicides, economic deprivation, you got a pipeline to the prison. So now the significance of women being locked up is infants are being born behind bars. Now we're coming to birth behind bars.
Come on. Come
yes,
on.
Yes, ma'am.
Just like we were locked up in the 1800s and 1700s, we are back in bondage. We're not on our way. We're not on our way. We have arrived.
That's right.
So now
that's right.
God is Allah God. He is poised to do what he has warned us he's going to do. It is no longer something far off in the distant future. You are already feeling the beginnings of it now. We're in this thing.
That's
why, you know, Obama is sending fighter jets over to Iraq that he just got through saying we were out of there.
Come on.
So while Israel is murdering Palestinian women and children wholesale for no reason. I mean, let me make it clear. No, yes, you can defend yourself. Defense is one thing. But murder is something different. But now our attention is being directed to Iraq and now ISIS, who none of us ever heard of until a few months ago.
Right.
Just like we never heard of Al-Qaeda until 9/11.
Right.
Now it's ISIS is killing Christian Iraqis. What? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So we got to go over there and save the Christian Iraqis from the Muslim Iraqis while babies and children die in Chicago while black people in Detroit have no water. So we're getting caught up, and it's legitimate, but we're looking at the effect, and we are refusing to accept the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's statement of what the cause is.
That's right.
And until we admit the cause, because at the end of the day, no matter how many of us say shoot in the head, most Negroes, he just said it, think white people are God.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
And until we come out of spookism, we're going to continue to think that, and that's going to be our death. So that is my take on the issue of prison. But thank you so much, Sister Joanne.
Thank you
for bringing that issue to our attention. 'Cause we better pay attention that women are going to prison. It used to be rare to see a woman get locked
That's
up.
Right.
It did.
That's right.
Now it is. Yeah. We go as quickly, if not quicker.
That's right.
That's right.
Than the men.
And
And Sister Ava, I just wanted to jump in here because there's a couple of things that you brought out that are very significant. Every time we seemingly have a win, we go silent. But as soon as we seem to be organized and getting our stuff together, they, on our calming down, go straight to work. As we look in the state of North Carolina, when after the election of Barack Obama and after his second term, the legislative in our city went straight to work to change the laws that disenfranchised young people and people of color, because they were the largest group of people that was coming out to get registered and going to the polls. So now we had this thing called Moral Monday, where we're trying to deal with the morality of the legislator and what they have done unjustly in our city. But it was because we went to sleep because we thought everything was okay. We had a black mayor in our city, and when she went up for election, nobody really came out because it's like, oh, she'll shoe in, she'll win, but she lost. And so we had another suppressive mayor that came in the city because we went to sleep once again. So all of the things that you were talking about, even our brother Kanye West, somebody had posted a video of him of a clip that he did a while back. He said, we don't have to deal with racism now. We got his cousin or a family member, classism. And then he said, we got something else. We ain't got to deal with racism. They got a newer thing called self-hate. And that self-hate causes us to do what we want to do, and, you know, we kill ourselves. So as you said, when the minister has been teaching us over and over again the value of the woman, who we should be and what we should be doing, if that doesn't happen, then we got to remember he talked about calling on the winds and, you know, praying to the winds and Ezekiel. So now we have these fiery serpents coming after us and doing all kinds of things to us. And if we don't do what we're supposed to do, it's going to, like you said, it's not something that's coming, but we're in the midst of it right now.
That's right. Well, we've got joining us on the line two sisters, as I mentioned earlier, who participated in the events over the weekend that were centered around, but not limited to, the assault on Judge Arnett Hubbard, 79-year-old, black woman, a judge here in the Cook County Circuit Court of Illinois, who was assaulted by a 6-foot, 240-pound white man who ran up on her while she stood outside the Daly Center and not only slapped her in her face twice, but also spit on her. And he had a court date on Tuesday, so we want to hear an update on that, and then just bring them into this general discussion that we're having now. So I want to welcome and give greetings of Assalamu Alaikum to Sister Mariam Muhammad and Sister Africa Porter. Assalamu Alaikum, sisters.
Assalamu Alaikum.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Okay,
thank you both so much for being with us this evening. And so what I'd like to do is before we get into the substantive discussion, did you both attend court on Tuesday?
I did. Sister Africa, I attended
this
court.
Sister Africa, yes, ma'am. Can you tell us what took place? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, it was about 50 of us. The sisters from the nation definitely represented. Praise be to Allah for them and their presence. About 45 sisters came, about 5 brothers came in support of Praise Be to Allah for them as well. And it was actually a preliminary hearing. So we expected to get understanding and to get a date for the continuance. So we just wanted to be in impactful numbers for that day to show support.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's what we did. Some sisters came in their Rosa Parks shirts because we understand that he made a comment, that beloved sister, about, you know, I don't care about you, Rosa Parks, you know, like some kind of crazy statement, you know, to our elder sister, Arnett Hubbard. So sisters represented in Rosa Parks shirts, and we very proudly yelled as he got up and left the room after we found out the new court date. We are Rosa Parks. We are Sister Arnett Hubbard, you know. And our outcry was felt. We wanted to make that brother uncomfortable, and we did just that. So what we learned at that day was that on the 18th at 9 o'clock in the morning, same location, 26 in California, Cook County, we will be there again. We would like to come back in triple numbers. And we have
yes,
committed
ma'am.
To that. Yesterday I did Cliff Kelly's show. Brothers and sisters called in, and they said they're bringing us loads to support our sisters.
Okay. Okay.
That's what's got to happen. That's what's got to happen.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am. Beautiful.
And thank you so much, Sister Ava, for speaking. I mean, Lil John, the brother, said he said turn down for what? Well, Sister Ava, you turned up on Saturday of last week at the Quinn Chapel. I need everybody to understand that.
Praise be to Allah.
Thank you so much.
Well, and you as well. Well, you're a very fiery young sister, and we thank Allah for you because we have to keep this thing moving. And as I said a few moments ago, we're going to have to come to terms with a final solution to all of this because this is draining our creativity. You see, because all of our energy, if you think about it, see, white people don't have to wake up with these issues.
That's right.
That's right.
That we have to face every single day. And see, the Judge Arnett Hubbard, this is a woman of stature.
That's
but
right.
See, this is happening in on street corners. A brother called into WVON as well and talked about a sister who it turned out to be she's on the faculty at Chicago State. That's starting to come to the surface. She was jaywalking, what they call jaywalking, where you cross the street against the light. Well, in big cities like Chicago and New York, everybody does that. Everybody does that. Okay? She does this, and the police stop her and demanded to see her ID. I'm just getting the facts second or third hand from the caller. But one thing led to another, and they body slammed her onto the sidewalk. Pulled her arms behind her back, cuffed her. You also heard, I think, recently about a young woman in Brooklyn, New York. Right after the murder in the brother, police go right back. She didn't die, but a sister grilling in her yard, ends up in a chokehold. Now, but look at the nature of the things that we're doing when we die. We're wearing a hoodie. We're selling a cigarette. Okay? We're in the back seat of a car at a gas station with loud music.
Come on.
Young lady who is out. Yeah, you could say of every one of these cases, they shouldn't have done this, they shouldn't have done that. Are you serious?
Living
and
wild
yet,
black.
Exactly. But yet here's a white man who cooks his baby to death. And until the preliminary hearing, I'm talking about the case in Georgia, where the 22-month-old baby was left in the car, and when they first arrested the father, white people came out and they swarmed out in protest against this man being arrested. Until the preliminary hearing and the detective started giving the evidence that this man was on the internet. He was looking up websites such as A Child-Free Life.
Wow.
I'm questioning the mind of somebody that made a website like that.
Wow.
A Child-Free Life. He was also visiting websites on how long it takes a child or pet to die in a car in the heat. They also had two life insurance policies on their 22-month-old baby.
Oh, man.
Ooh.
He was also sexting, a new term, six women. I shouldn't say women and girls, because the youngest was 16, all day from his job while his baby was dying. His wife stated to some people that the child looked peaceful when he died, when they called her to the scene. The detective said the child's face was scratched up. He was scratching his own skin. Pulling at his skin at 22 months old. trying to cope with this horrific situation he found himself in and couldn't comprehend. But he's alive. He's getting his day in court. But we can't get ours. So why do we keep dealing with these people? That's the question I raise. Why do we continue to deal with them? So Sister Mariam, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to get off this soapbox. We've got a lot of calls. So I didn't want to leave you out of this. I'm just really feeling.
Somebody got to clean it up.
I'm enjoying it. I am enjoying it.
Praise the Lord. Just wanted to get your comments,
ma'am,
on this matter. You've been very active in this as well, and we're very appreciative when our young sisters get out here. You're also an educator. Sister Mariam has served as the Dean of Girls at Muhammad University of Islam, among other worthy positions that she has held on our behalf. And so she's very sensitive to the, I should say, plight of the black female.
Yes, ma'am, definitely. I wanted to share with you that yesterday, Sister Africa and I and a couple of other sisters were on the phone with the alderman of the 4th Ward, and we were having a discussion with him trying to get an area to have our rally in his ward, and it was very disturbing. He was very, his posture was very disrespectful towards us. He was very frustrated. He didn't want it to be in his ward to begin with. By the end of the call, he was agreeing to it, but still was very frustrated because he felt, well, there's no, I don't have that kind of violence in my ward, so I don't want that type of attention. He says, I have shootings, but not homicides. So it's okay for us to get shot, just as long as we don't die in his ward. And he made the comment he doesn't care about Chicago. I mean, this man is outrageous, but this is who we voted in office. And he doesn't even realize that his particular ward is he's being the face used by white people to push black people out, because now it's becoming unaffordable to live in the Bronzeville area for black people. And he doesn't realize that in a minute, once the black people are pushed out, then white people are going to replace him with their face. So they're just using him to push us out, and then they're going to push him out.
There you go.
It's ridiculous.
Well, as we say, shocked but not surprised.
Not at all. But, you know, Dr. Ava, so what Sister Mariam just said is that the classic gatekeeper, and I think you all talked about the sheepdog. that one that stands in the place as a puppeteer for masters. So they are the ones, and it's a whole slew of them, whether they're oppressive or the whole slew of intellectual black people, the elite black people that arrive, black people. Because I asked the question to somebody yesterday, is there a middle class or rich black neighborhood that the final call is sold in? And I couldn't really think of one, because these people think that they have arrived and they have achieved the American dream and they are okay, that, you know, everybody else just needs to do what they need to do. So a lot of them fight, you know, with or for the establishment, like she said, to keep us down, and then realize later when that same oppression comes on them that what have I done? And by the time they realize it, it's too late, because the oppressor has used them up and gotten everything they wanted out of them, and that's why we have always said you can't do what the white folks do. So whatever stuff you got going on, make sure it is correct. Pay your taxes. Everything that you got to do that is proper, do it. Because if you don't, you'll get caught in the world that they live in, but you can't live in that same world.
That's right.
That's right.
All right, we're gonna go back to the phones. And so we've got our full-fledged panel here. And we've got Brother Frank. He is calling out of Atlanta, and he has a comment.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Walaikum salam.
It's an honor, really, to be Sister Minister Ava. on your blog talk, but I'm going to make it short and sweet because in the South we keep it 100. We are expecting Caucasians to do for us something that history has never shown them doing. I'm reading a book now called 1177, The Year Civilization Collapsed. And then the Supreme Wisdom, Lost Found Muslim Lesson Number 1, Question Number 2, why did Musa have a hard time civilizing the devil? A part of that answer is it was in the 11,000th year of the Asiatic calendar. So my point is this. We as representatives of the servant of God, we should focus more on going into the hood and giving it to the soldiers. Because the soldiers are the ones that's going to carry the resistance forward. And that's what we are losing at. We are trying to reach everybody else but the brothers that's in the hood. Let's take it to the hood, put what Minister Farrakhan has taught us and is teaching us before them, and let them be the judge, and then this enemy will see that we carry in power. Nothing short of that, to me, will alleviate our suffering. The young brothers, they're getting tattooed up, they're getting bandanaed up, but they don't have a mission. Let's give them what the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is teaching, and I'm sure that we'll win. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, you know, one of the jobs of us in the research group is to get Minister Farrakhan out of out of jail. In other words,
right,
to bring him to the people. Our people in the black communities are inundated with information of the enemy all the time. And when you go to them, because I'm out there a whole lot with them, if you're not bringing them something, a job right now or some money right now, they're really not listening to you. What I'm just asking is, well, truth don't matter. So, yes, we do have to bring it to the hood, but we got to understand that in the meantime, they have been completely taken over by a very narcissistic, selfish attitude, and we are the enemy because we did 911. We can't get over the fact that 911 was so powerful that when they see us Muslims, they see terrorists, and they don't want to be associated. We're going to have to go to the beast where he's at to teach, show our people the truth about who he is and who we are, and we got to have a sustained campaign. But it's hard to have a sustained campaign when we, each of us ourselves, many of us are in debt trying to hold on to a house and a car. So we have a serious struggle ahead of us.
And of course, if we go and take a look at a couple weeks ago, God's influence on the hip-hop generation, that's exactly right. We have finally succeeded in producing a generation of youth that rejects authority. They completely are unmoved by the whole spooky Jesus is white concept. They don't buy into that one bit. However, they don't accept any direction, any guidance at all.
That's right.
And that is because they are born to submit to Allah. And so we have to get them within hearing of the voice of Minister Farrakhan. That's the only thing they're going to respond to. And
that's
only thing that they need to respond to, because that solution, which is our exodus, is the only workable solution to this problem.
That's right.
So we're going to continue on the phones, and anybody in the panel can jump in. I'm going to go to, and let me make sure I'm pronouncing this right. Is this Sister Umub? Who? I'm not going to even. Okay, now I'm getting the phonetics, but this is Sister Umabukiya. And I want you to correct me.
Yeah,
say that again, beloved.
Yes, yeah, so Umabukiya.
Umabukiya.
All
Assalamu alaikum.
Only from around 1206. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, ma'am. You know what? I wanted to interject in this conversation. I thought about all week. Because when you talk about the old school, there was a time when women were highly respected when they walked down the street. Back in the 40s and 50s, they all wore bonnets, you know, and for man's word to use profanity, he would tell his friend, man, don't you see the lady? Excuse me, man.
Right.
Tip his hat. You know? If he did take a drink, they'd run behind the house and take a drink. They wouldn't let him see him. And why did the men respect the women so much? Because they respected themselves. If a woman smoked a cigarette, she didn't. Nobody knew it because she wouldn't smoke out the street. She smoked at home. There was a different breed of women back in the 50s and 60s from what we're seeing now. And as you said, with the way the women are dressed. And I think that those issues, because every chance I get when I meet young people in the community, I try to share that wisdom with them. I try to encourage them to be ladylike and not be other than themselves. As-salamu alaykum.
Walaykum salam. Well, you know, the Honorable
really,
Elijah
yeah.
Muhammad warned us on the back of the Muhammad Speaks. You know, he always had a picture, cartoon of this white woman walking around with her baby, and both of them were half nude. And he said, you know, don't follow these people. And we followed those people. We were integrated with the lowest class of white people. And for the black women to hold on to their black men, they had to act like the white woman, who was a low-down type of animal in terms of her sexuality. She would lay down with anything very quickly. And so the black woman took up the behavior of the white woman to try to hold on to the black man, and now everybody degrades and looks down upon the black woman, including the black man, where we were mixed in, integrated with the lowest class and third-class white people. And now our whole community suffer, our morals suffer, because we followed the wrong guidance. We followed the wrong people. Now we have to get ourselves up by our own bootstraps, listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, begin to put some things in practice and get our discipline together and work our way out of this hole that we've dug for ourselves by not following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and now the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and following the integrationists who have led us into a trap. We're in the trap. Now we've got to get out, fight our way out.
That's exactly right. Thank you so much, Sister. And we've had Sister Joella holding for quite some time, trying to get her mic open. Sister Joella?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Assalamualaikum. Alaikum salam, beloved. And it's a blessing to be able to talk with you and Brother Terrence and Brother Ridgely. The conversation tonight, or the topic tonight, is just so powerful because I recently saw a video of the minister in Belize, and whoever put that on, it was just so heartwarming to see how he has gone all over the world, and everywhere you look, especially when he goes into the penal system of the prisons, we just see a lot of our young black soldiers in there, and not just them, the sister who was on there, and she just cried out because she, too, was in locked up as well for what she did in terms of the her common law husband hurting her child. And I just want to say that we have to continue to just let people know that separation is the only way that we can deal with this, because our children are picking up habits that we cannot control anymore, because this is what they are seeing. So again, thank you, Sister Ava, for having this show, and may Allah continue to bless us to be a light of understanding with all that's taking place. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I just, Sister Africa, Sister Mariam, I don't want you to hesitate to get in this whenever you want to comment.
Yeah, and Sister Ava. Yeah, and Sister Ava, that's what I was going to just jump in here, because I know we are dealing with a lot of issues with women going into the penal system, the prison system, and the way sisters used to look and dress. I was going to ask Sister Maryam and Sister Africa, what are some of the what are some of the skills or ways that you utilize to get women involved in activism, get involved in this particular movement, and is there something that you're actively doing now, as well as getting women involved in this issue, what any steps going on as it pertains to this case in general that people need to know about?
Well, actually, this is Sister Africa from Lakeland. Sister Maryam and I just left a meeting convened over at Rainbow Push Coalition by Sister Zakiya Muhammad and Sister Doris Lewis and Sister Stephanie Gatlin, where we're mobilizing 1,000 women and men to come together to support all of these issues. We know these issues are not unique. Wherever we are on the planet Earth, we are in peril. We have issue. We are under attack. Sister Tara said at Quinn Chapel last Saturday that they're trying to kill us. They are us. So we understand of which we live. So we just left a meeting today where we were organizing, of which we, some of the sisters came up with the concept and idea. Instead of reinventing the wheel, they brought the history of the National Black Agenda movement to us, of which Minister Louis Farrakhan is a part of as well. So I think, you know, we're moving forward on these issues. We have tons of issues to work on. Sister Maryam, you want to expound some more?
Sure. I would definitely say that we're definitely following the instruction of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, which he instructed our national MGT captain, Sister Sandy, to have us take our classes to the streets, and that's what we've been doing. So we've been doing classes on nutrition. We've been doing classes on first aid. We've been doing classes on how to rear your children, because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that when he looks at the woman, he sees so much pain. That's really at the core of what we're going through. Women, black women today are in so much pain and don't know how to deal with this pain. How do I unshackle the pain that's in me? And not even realizing that some of that pain you're born with genetically. So it's deeper than what you can understand. But the courses that we're taking out here into the streets is helping to alleviate that. It's helping to give them the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of who they are. And that they don't have to live in pain. And that if you strengthen your connection with Allah God, then that will remove the pain that you're in, even the levels that you don't understand. So, and what we're also doing on August the 31st is we're doing a rally, Ambassadors for Peace, in the community. Right now it's going to be in the Bronzeville area. But in the efforts of taking back our community, but I cannot stress enough that a nation can rise no higher than its woman. We have to teach the woman. We have to build the woman back up so that our nation will return to where it's supposed to be.
Amen.
That's right.
This is Sister Africa. I have Sister Doris Lewis, one of the organizers for the 1,000 women and men coming together that wants to speak.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ava and others. I'm so glad to have Sister Maryam on board, because we've got to organize our young people. It is not about me. I am a grandmother. So it is so important that we organize our young women and our young men, because we are dying every day. It pains me to just listen to the news, because it's so negative. And, and the majority of the news is about our young people dying. So we don't have a choice. I don't have a choice. Because we've got to make this world a better world. We've got to turn this white supremacy into justice. There's so much injustice going on in the world, and our children are heading the list, all kinds of things. So I plead to the young people who hear our voices, come out to these meetings. Let's organize. As long as we stand to the side and treat this as normal, this is not normal.
That's right.
50, 60 people being killed, shot at on a weekend, that is not normal. That's abnormality. So let's turn this around because we can. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has been preaching this for 60 years. So it's time for a change in the black community. It's time for us to get these people off our necks. It's time for these people to stop cheering on this injustice every day against us. So we just organize, and I plead to the young people, come out and join us. Let's organize. So thank you for listening. And Sister Ava, I am so thankful to Allah you have this show. And we're going to work on you getting another hour on Sunday because you have too much to share. And we
That's
cannot
right.
share in an hour. We are dying.
So
we need to be talking about this every day.
Yes,
I am all for that.
Sister Ava, our meeting next week is going to be at Operation Push next Thursday at 6 o'clock. So we're organizing, and I'm very happy about what I'm hearing from Sister Mariam and others. I'm very pleased.
Yes.
So thank you for listening.
Thank you for all the work that you are doing. And as you just noted, Minister Farrakhan and his spiritual father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, have not only been preaching to us, but they have brought from the originator, they brought us the solution. See, white supremacy exists because we live in a world that was built upon it as a premise. But it is a very finite world that is falling. We are the original people of this planet. See, this whole term minority, we're not a minority on the planet Earth. We outnumber
Eleven to one.
Yes, 11 to one. I'm going in and out now with technical issues. But I do want to, let me do this real quick. We've had Brother Jihad holding for almost an hour. And so as we move down the other side of the clock, we're down to about 17 minutes. I don't want to miss his comments. Brother Jihad, you are live. Your line is open.
Yeah.
On Elevated Places.
Yeah. As-salamu alaykum, Sister Ava.
Wa alaykum salam.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Terrence and Dr. Richard.
What's up, sir?
Yeah, I'm continuing what I spoke on last week, dealing with the issue of sex trafficking. And what I was saying is how does it not only hurt the one that's involved in sex trafficking and the prostitution, but the family, the friends, you know? Like I was saying, when the sister that got thrown out the car, she knew the intention of the pimp, what he wanted to do. But her older sister tricked her into the car, and while she fights, she gets thrown out the car, right? Now, that same day that everyone found out that what happened, her next-door neighbor, when she found out, she had a heart attack and died on the spot. You see how it affects, that whole thing affects everyone. She died that same day that she found out that she got killed and how she got killed. She had a heart attack and dropped dead on the spot. And her boyfriend who asked me for the gun, right, and I didn't give it to him because I fear he would go in prison, he ended up losing his mind slowly. To this day, his mind is totally gone. You see? And, I witnessed him losing his mind, right? Then four years later, I leave in 78 to go back to Brooklyn, New York. When I moved back to Los Angeles in 86, a few years later, when I see him, his mind is totally gone.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it destroys family. It destroys community.
It destroys
That's
the family.
Right.
She had a niece at that time that was 2 years old, right? When I came back to Los Angeles a few years later, I ran across her. She asked me, how did her aunt die? Which tells me no one in the family even told her exactly how she died. So I was, because I found out from a family member she was living with her aunt that tricked her aunt and getting in the car. So I wouldn't tell her. And now I found out later, a few years later, she's prostituting herself. Which tells me that even though she don't have a pimp, that some way her aunt influenced her into that lifestyle.
Yes, sir. We understand completely. I appreciate you sharing that narrative so that we don't think this is a theory. We understand this is going on in real life. I can tell you it is going on in real life. And that was, for those who may have missed last week's program, that was the cover story on the Final Call newspaper, which addressed this horrific issue of our young girls being sold. And it goes back to the point, panel, that I was raising earlier about we're not on our way back into bondage. We are there. It's just that, as Dr. Ridgey pointed out at the top of the show, it's just the form has changed.
That's
and
right.
That's what we can't lose sight of. There's nothing different except we are in modern times. And the slave master's children are very astute at updating and revising what they
That's
are
right.
doing. And it leaves us with this false impression that we are making progress. And, you know, I don't say this to put down the civil rights movement or voting or any of that, because our people died. They died so we can be – so Ridgely and I are doctor. I have a Juris Doctor. He has his PhD. People died to make that possible. But
That's
it
right.
doesn't negate the fact that at the end of the day, we have made zero progress.
That's right.
Mm.
Because we still are under white people's thumb, and we get pushed
right.
around at their behest. Like was brought up earlier, Sister Marianne brought up, we got a so-called black alderman in the Fourth Ward, and she mentioned Bronzeville. That's a historic community in Chicago. That's where mm. black people settled when they came to Chicago from Mississippi and the places in the South seeking refuge from Jim Crow, from domestic terrorism, lynching, death in the
That's
South.
Right.
And all of our great doctors, lawyers, activists, and just hard-working black folks, politicians, everybody black lived together because that was the upside of segregation.
That's
we
right.
sure
That's right.
worked together.
That's right.
That's right.
That's the only time we really made any progress.
That's right.
Frankly, is when we were segregated. We had to have business.
That's right.
That's right.
We didn't have any choice but to patronize one another. You couldn't stand back in the corner and whisper about each other.
And then some come back in our store.
That's right.
And then
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have, you know, that same brother, that alderman, this brother made it very clear to us as we were on the phone conference that he's not from Chicago. You know, he's not from Ohio. I really don't care about the violence. That's not what I'm about in this ward. And, we, you know, he said, no, my ward is Hyde Park and Bronzeville, and we don't really have the issues other wards have.
We
got to
walk this man down Front Street, Brother Terrence.
That's right. That's right.
We have three wives today amongst who the enemy is, amongst our own.
Well, you know, we've always had collaborators, and without collaborators, the oppressor can never hold ground. He may get in, but he can't hold ground without collaborators.
There it is.
But you,
that's
but
right.
You know
man
what?
Is the Samuel Jackson character in Django.
There you go. Django, that's right.
That's
and you
right.
know what, Dr. Ava? I think we need to release the letter, the stand down letter again before August 17th, because I think that once people hear what the minister is going to let out on August 17th, either before, I think before and after, we need to let all so-called wannabe black leadership, you need to stand down. Since you ain't speaking, he is, you ain't got nothing to say in defense of your employer and our open enemy. You just may want to stand down, because what the minister is going to release and say, I just know and pray that Allah gives him everything to wipe out the enemy and take the veil off the enemy so you can see him clearly. And we don't want no slave masters, nymphs, running out there trying to cover up their shame, cover up their funk, cover up nothing for them. Let them stand in their filth and their shame, and let the minister expose them for who they are. And anyone that we see running quickly to protect them, that we'll know exactly who you are.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We got a brother Michael. I want to make sure I absolutely get. We have more people, but I definitely want to get at least a couple more callers in. Brother Michael has been on for quite some time, so let's open up his mic and see if we can hear from him. Brother Michael. Brother Michael?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
All right. Welcome back to Elevated Places.
Yes, ma'am. Alaykum salam. Alaykum salam and assalamu alaykum to the panel, to the sisters from the for doing the things that you've been doing and organizing. And, to the sister from MUI, you know, helping to craft some beautiful black women that we need to start uplifting and revitalizing our people. But I did want to comment earlier, like you were talking about with Eric Garner and what happened to him. It was another incident in Tulsa that happened the day before yesterday. A young brother got killed in front of he had befriended this white girl in Tulsa, Oklahoma, helped her get into a shelter, and then allowed her to come stay with him. And I think he was one of our half original brothers, if I'm not mistaken, if he wasn't all the way original. And her father found out and seen him walking on the side of town that he didn't like for them to be on, and shot the brother right there in front of his daughter, and then shot at his daughter a couple times, and his wife helped cover everything up. So, like you're saying, I mean, it's getting to the point where it's getting really disagreeable to live with these people, because they really don't want to respect our lives at all whatsoever, because it's really not in their nature to do so. And as far as our women go, we just got to keep working. You know, you and all the sisters, all the MVP, GCC, y'all are the best examples that we have right now as far as black women on the face of the planet that can be able to start steering the direction of all our young sisters as they coming up. And some of our women, like our elders said earlier, it's not about the older people anymore. Now it's about saving the children. So I want to say assalamu alaikum to everybody on the panel. Thank you very much. I love all of y'all for everything that y'all doing for our people, and I'm going to keep on listening to Elevated Place.
Well, thank you, Brother Michael, and you are one of the reasons Elevated Places is such a welcome forum.
That's right.
To all of us, because and this is one of our young brothers.
Right.
That was being referenced earlier. This is our future, and when you hear someone strong and astute like that, then you know we're going to be winners. And I'm going to tell you, what he just said was key about their nature.
That's right.
The nature of them. This is where our people fail to grasp the solution and turn away from it, because we are a spiritual people. And we want to get along with, we're peaceful at our root.
Right.
We misinterpret from our training under white people, we misinterpret separation as hate.
Right.
Come on.
And we don't understand that there is no pleasing this people. There is no pleasing them.
oh, he could have, why did he resist arrest? Well, what are you telling me, that Trayvon shouldn't have gone to get some Skittles?
Come on.
We built this country. We were the first to go to war on behalf of this country. It is our music. It is our culture. It is our spiritual depth that made this country the richest and most powerful nation on the earth, and it wasn't enough. Why? Because it is not in their genetic makeup. Francis Cress Welsing took the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and did in-depth research and has provided irrefutable empirical evidence to support his teaching. And that is that the Caucasian male fears genetic annihilation. And she said on my show on WVON, when a caller asked her to give an example of genetic annihilation, her answer was Barack Obama is genetic annihilation. Because a white female mated with a black African, and what came out was black, not white.
That's right. With a swagger.
Black subsumes white. Right.
Black with a swagger.
And the black child that came out married a black woman from the south side of Chicago. Not some multi-ethnic hybrid. Black woman from the south side of Chicago. That's genetic annihilation. This is why they sit in the House and vote against Affordable Health Care Act every day. They've lost their mind. So why we continue to seek the company of these sociopaths is bringing down Allah's wrath on us. Because now we're acting like we're crazy.
That's right.
That's right.
We can take it or let it alone, but that's real.
That's right. That's the truth.
So, this has been very powerful. I think we have encouraged our listeners, because we certainly encourage ourselves, and our listeners have encouraged us. And so we're going to keep having Sister Doris, Sister Africa, Sister Mariam keep us updated, not only on Judge Arnett Hubbard's matter, but look at how Sister Mariam enlightened us on this sellout sitting right there. And I mean, oh my God. Okay, we're on this. You know I'm walking him down Front Street.
Okay.
We're not having this.
Please do.
You're not going to lay under the bushes. No, he's going to be live on the air Sunday, okay?
Uh-oh.
Whether he's there or not, he's going to be on my show, whether he's there or not.
I just knocked out the Ava Van Thien in his office today. Teaching in front of his office today and picketed his office for some other behaviors that he's been doing in the community.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to talk about him and to him on WBON.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes,
so we're going to keep it moving, and we're also going to, and you know what? He doesn't know what a nightmare is unless the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan turns that laser on him.
That's right.
It'd be best for him to just step down while he can.
That's right.
That's what I would do if I were him. That's too close. Bronzeville is adjacent to Hyde Park. Bronzeville is Black Chicago's history. And you are not going to sit up in our city and say you don't care.
That's right.
You need to go ahead and go on up to the north side where you belong.
That's right.
That's right.
As Michael Corleone told Tom, take your wife, your children, and your mistress and go ahead and move to Reno, okay?
That's right.
So I really want to thank the Elevated Places team back with us this evening. I mean, really handling this board has been our brilliant IT specialist, Sister LaDonna Muhammad, who is just Oh, my gosh, she's so crucial to this elevated place. And she's with us this evening, and she's been handling this bad boy. That's right. Why it's been running so smoothly. Of course, Dr. Risley, Brother Terrence, Sister Rona Muhammad, the WVON team, Brother Ashad, Sister Valerie. I have to thank my husband, Brother Darius Muhammad.
That's right.
Who does so much to provide subject matter and viewpoints. And got to have him on shortly because we got to deal with this whole
Uh-oh.
Black athletic
Uh-oh.
Thing.
Uh-oh.
Let's go. Coming soon.
Oh,
yeah,
go.
And once you've heard him speak on a subject, and God Ooh. Forbid we ever have him and Dr. Risley do a duo, I think there'd be nothing left. I mean, he and Dr. Risley, Brother Darius and Dr. Risley are scorched earth warriors, okay?
Exactly.
They just like, look, just burn everything to the ground and start all over.
That's correct.
We don't do nuances, okay? But thank you all. May Allah bless you all. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
salam. Wa alaykum salam.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. If you enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new season.